Hello and welcome. I'm Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner.
And I'm Shea Pataja, the co-host of
New Retirement Radio,
the podcast.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and the opinions given are for informational purposes only and are not intended as financial, tax, accounting, or legal advice, and are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their individual needs with an appropriate professional.
And welcome aboard to New Retirement Radio with Prout Financial Design in Traverse City, Michigan, starring Mr. Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner. Good morning, sir.
Thank you, Ron. Thank you. Today is September 9th, 2021, and the rebroadcast will be on Saturday. 9/11.
Ooh.
I know a lot of us are thinking about that this week. In fact, we're going to have several remembrances of those times as we go through the program today to help remember what happened. But before we do all of those things, it's been brought to our attention that today is Ron's birthday.
Mm-hmm. I heard that.
Uh-huh, honey.
So, are you guys ready?
I'm ready.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Ron. Happy birthday to you.
Dennis, that was really
thank you very much. Thank you.
It's in a very large studio with all these people here. Thank you very much there.
You're welcome. That is, my gosh.
Man, it's
9/9 is your birthday, really. You are today is your birthday, really.
It is.
Really.
Tis.
It's
awesome?
My niece's birthday too.
Niner. See, there's a lot of good people mm-hmm. born on September 9th.
And my little cousin. She called me my niece called me last night. Shay, I wanted to call you on my birthday, on my last day of being four, because I'm not going to be a baby anymore. I'm not going to be a baby. So five is a big deal.
She actually said that. I'm not going to be a baby anymore.
Yep.
My last day of being four.
She's grieving her youth already.
Right, yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. Like the little ones when you ask somebody if it would be in need of adults. How old are you? 8.5.
Yeah. It's always a race to the next number.
How old are you? I'm 39.5.
Yes. That is when you start to do the halves and then backtracking.
Right. Right.
Well, we appreciate you listening. Welcome here with us. And thank you to all of our listeners. We've got a lot to cover today. And we're actually going to do some recordings. The first one being the TSA. It's called TSA As Events Unfold. We just added that this morning. Heidi had been going through doing some research last evening, and thank you, Heidi, for finding this. I think mm-hmm. this will be fantastic. Now,
it is a tough one.
It is a very tough. I think it'll be excellent for the radio. Obviously, we reviewed this thing. Because it includes all the many conversations from that day of 9/11 of 01. And there is some swearing on this, so beware to those of you who care not to listen to that. It does include some of that. Because we have conversations from those who are on planes, people who are in the buildings. You will hear a reference to Betty, who was a flight attendant on one of the planes that actually went into the towers. Yeah. So these are direct. And it is powerfully painful to see again. Yeah. But we wanted to remember. I think it's important, especially as we reviewed this. I mean, honestly, myself, I'd forgotten a lot of this. I just had. Mm-hmm. And then after this, we're going to play a short, relatively, about a 4.5 minute clip from George Bush's speech to the joint session of Congress on 9/20. And he, I was stunned, honestly. He could barely contain his emotions. There were several times he was almost overcome. All right, so we're going to start again with the TSA. As events unfold, it's about 4.5 minutes or so.
A montage, but like you said,
a montage.
It's mixed together.
It is. Several conversations, so there may be parts of it that are a bit disjointed. For those of you who want to check it out, it's on YouTube. TSA is called As Events Unfold. And then there'll be a short narration at the end because these words are posted on the screen, which we will then read.
American 11, are you trying to call?
The cockpit is not answering their phone. Our number one has been staffed and our five has been staffed.
I am going to call from Washington. I have a situation with American 11, a possible hijack.
What's going on, Betty? The aircraft is erratic again. Problem, very erratic. Betty, talk to me. Betty, are you there? Teddy?
A plane just hit the World Trade Center.
What?
It's the 737.
It what?
Like the World Trade Center.
Who are you talking to? Oh, God. Oh, my God.
United 175, New York. We have some problems over here right now. We might have a hijack over here, two of them.
What are those people gonna do? All the elevators are blocked down.
Oh my God. So both towers are now.
Okay. Foxy, I got an aircraft 6 miles east of the White House.
Hello?
Crystal City, just north of Crystal City.
Just to the north of your town.
Did you hear me?
Yeah, stop all departures.
Pentagon just got hit. Don't put me in that. God damn, I can't even protect my NCA.
United 93, that traffic for you is 1 o'clock, 12 miles eastbound 370.
Negative contact, we're looking, United 93.
Hey! United 93, Cleveland, if you hear the center right then.
They got that piece of dog. Keep remaining sitting. You have a ball aboard.
Tuesday, 9:47 a.m.
Hi, baby. Baby, you have to listen to me carefully. I'm on a plane that's been hijacked. I'm on the plane. I'm calling from the plane. I want to tell you I love you. Please tell my children that I love them very much. And I'm so sorry, babe. I hope to be able to see your face again, baby. I love you.
Right. We're 56865. We have I believe it is a Boeing 757. Can you see him up there, sir?
That's confirmed. It looks like he's rocking his wings.
Roger.
He's rocking back and forth.
We're 56865. I advise you stay away from that aircraft. Go north as fast as you can.
United 93. Have you got information on that yet?
Yeah, he's down.
He's down?
Yes.
When did he land?
He did not land.
Oh, he's down?
Yes,
down?
Somewhere up northeast of Camp David.
Sean, it's me. I just want to let you know I love you, and I'm stuck in this building in New York. There's lots of smoke, and I just wanted you to know that I love you always.
At number 2 World Trade Center, right? Maybe the shooter is in the drop. We're not ready to die, but it's getting bad.
Okay. I'm gonna die, aren't I?
No. Say your,
I'm gonna die.
Liv, say your prayers.
God.
We're gonna think positive because you gotta help each other get off the floor.
I'm
now.
Dying.
A new type of war. That's what it is.
Well,
quotes from George W. Bush. Time is passing, yet for the United States of America,
there will be no forgetting September 11th. We will remember every rescuer who died in honor. We will remember every family that lives in grief. We will remember the fire and ash, the last phone calls, the funerals of the children, and that's George W. Bush.
So that audio that we heard, when you match it with the video, it's just arresting. I mean, I've seen a lot of footage of that day, mm-hmm. but this montage, it's newer radio traffic and phone calls released, and it's
What's
powerful.
The name of that, Ron, so we can look it up?
It's TSA.
I was going to play
As
it.
Events Unfold is what it's called. TSA.
It takes your breath away.
It takes you right back there to that confusion of that day. Dennis and I were talking about it, and I lived in Atlanta at the time, and it just seemed to hit you one thing at another. You know, you first heard about the plane,
well,
and then
you didn't understand. Maybe it was a mistake that mm-hmm. someone, you know, ran into
right.
a building. I suppose could happen, right?
I thought I was at Fogarelli's picking up sandwiches for a board meeting and watching the TV thinking I was watching a movie. We were all standing at the deli like, what is this? And then I got the cell phone call to go home immediately and be with my family. Everything was canceled for the day.
It's amazing how emotional it is. I couldn't even read that.
Yeah. That's a powerful piece
wow.
there that we just heard and saw.
Yeah. So, yes. Thank you, Ron, for playing that for us. And those of you listening, now the next thing we want to play is George, a portion of his speech before Congress on 9/20 of 2001. And we'll play about 4.5 minutes. I think there's a pretty good break point, Ron. We'll see where to stop it. This is an incredible response. All right, let's go.
Members of Congress, I have the high privilege and the distinct honor of presenting to you the President of the United States.
Mr. Speaker, Mr. President pro tempore, members of Congress, and fellow Americans. In the normal course of events, presidents come to this chamber to report on the State of the Union. Tonight, no such report is needed. It has already been delivered by the American people. We have seen it in the courage of passengers who rushed terrorists to save others on the ground. Passengers like an exceptional man named Todd Beamer. And would you please help me welcome his wife, Lisa Beamer, here tonight. We have seen the state of our union in the endurance of rescuers working past exhaustion. We've seen the unfurling of flags, the lighting of candles, the giving of blood, the saying of prayers in English, Hebrew, and Arabic. We have seen the decency of a loving and giving people who have made the grief of strangers their own. My fellow citizens, for the last 9 days, the entire world has seen for itself the state of our union, and it is strong. Tonight, we are a country awakened to danger and called to defend freedom. Our grief has turned to anger, and anger to resolution. Whether we bring our enemies to justice or bring justice to our enemies, justice will be done. I thank the Congress for its leadership at such an important time. All of America was touched on the evening of the tragedy to see Republicans and Democrats join together on the steps of this Capitol singing God Bless America. And you did more than sing. You acted by delivering $40 billion to rebuild our communities and meet the needs of our military. Speaker Hassert, Minority Leader Gephardt, Majority Leader Daschle, and Senator Lott, I thank you for your friendship, for your leadership, and for your service to our country. And on behalf of the American people, I thank the world for its outpouring of support. America will never forget the sounds of our national anthem playing at Buckingham Palace, on the streets of Paris, and at Berlin's Brandenburg Gate. We will not forget South Korean children gathering to pray outside our embassy in Seoul, or the prayers of sympathy offered at a mosque in Cairo. We will not forget moments of silence and days of mourning in Australia and Africa and Latin America. Nor will we forget the citizens of 80 other nations who died with our own. Dozens of Pakistanis, more than 130 Israelis, more than 250 citizens of India, men and women from El Salvador, Iran, Mexico, and Japan. And hundreds of British citizens. America has no truer friend than Great Britain.
All right, so we're going to stop it there. That is arresting, too. Just so it just brings you back to the emotions of that period. Amazing.
It does. There were several times at the beginning of his speech, he was doing everything he could to control his emotions. You could tell. Yeah. The power of that was amazing. It's amazing to go back. It really is. And good for us all, obviously. Well, we have a lot to be proud of being Americans, don't we? Seriously.
Absolutely.
Given what we encountered there, see the best of America. And those Marines that were here, we were laughing about it simply because as soon as I saw them, you know, you stand up straighter and wow.
Yep.
They look when we great. Walked in the studio today, there were Marines, yes. Four Marines.
Just yeah. A bunch of big, tough guys that are good guys as well. We'll take it, I know. But yeah, they looked fantastic and a great representation of our best of best.
The back of their shirts, did you read that?
Mm-hmm.
Is pain is weakness leaving your body.
Mm-hmm. That's one way of looking at it.
good comment. So how September 11th affected the U.S. stock market. Some interesting points here, and then Shay's got a bunch of stats as well. The New York Stock Exchange and the NASDAQ did not open for trading on Tuesday morning, September 11th, as terrorists attacked the World Trade Center and the Pentagon. First, American Airlines Flight 11 crashed into the North Tower at 8:46 a.m. United Airlines Flight 175 hit the South Tower at 9:03. The towers are just a few blocks from Wall Street. Then later that morning, a passenger jet crashed into the Pentagon, and a fourth hijacked jet bound for Washington, D.C. was brought down by passengers in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. So this is from Investopedia. The tragic event marks its 20th anniversary, September 11th of 21. The attacks heavily damaged or destroyed two of the most recognized symbols of American financial and military power, causing nearly 3,000 deaths and sending tremors throughout the stock market and the economy. In terms of the stock percentage on the Dow, the percentage lost in those days, I actually looked this up, it was about 15% between 9:10 of 01 and about 9:24 or so in that two-week period.
What percentage?
About 15%. The market was at about 9,600 on the Dow. Imagine that.
Yeah.
About a fourth of what it is today.
Yeah.
A fourth. Well, it lost about 1,400 points between then and the 24th of September, although there were intraday trades, if you will, or market gyrations where the market was lower than those points. These are each of the closing prices from those days.
What was the percentage loss last March with the COVID thing?
Oh, it was greater than that.
Greater
it was
percentage?
About 35,
yeah.
I think.
35% or so, okay. Yeah. So perspective, right? Mm. About 5,500 points in those days today, rather. The same percentage today would be about 5,500 points, to be clear. The terrorist attack on September 11th, 01 was marked by a sharp plunge in the stock market, causing a $1.4 trillion loss in market value. The first week of trading after the attack saw the S&P 500 fall more than 14%, while gold and oil rallied, which they tend to do in those times of uncertainty. Hmm. The industries most affected were airlines, of course, whose flights were subsequently grounded, and insurers who paid out billions of dollars in claims, lots of fighting about whether or not they were going to cover all the terrorist acts that occurred, given their terrorism coverage, including to victims and property owners. Ultimately, the market rebounded after a relatively short sell-off. It really was relatively short, with lots of funds from the Fed. So that was the first time that the Fed had stepped into that degree with this extensive help from the Fed in terms of cash to the major banks and market makers, if you will. The fallout from September 11 still weighs in the U.S. in the form of trillions of dollars spent on homeland security and wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. On the first day of New York Stock Exchange trading after September 11, the Dow fell 684 points, a 7% decline. Today, that would be about 2,200 points, somewhere in there. The closing trading that Friday ended a week that saw the biggest losses in New York Stock Exchange history. The average was down more than 14% and so on, more details. That loss had been the biggest loss I'd read elsewhere since the Great Depression. The longest shutdown since the Great Depression also occurred in that period of time. It was closed for 7 days until September 17th. Mm. All right.
So, yeah, I have some more details about those stats. That's
sure.
a great overview. So I'll hit a few of those, and then Heidi has a great article about the church across mm-hmm. the street. So,
yes. St. Paul's, right?
Correct. Mm, yeah. St. Paul's Chapel.
When the flights American Airlines 11 and United Airlines 175 destroyed the World Trade Center's Twin Towers, $8 billion was lost in just the cost of the buildings, according to a 2011 report by the New York Times. That figure doesn't include the computers, furniture, and cars that were in the building, which were worth an additional $6 billion.
Jeez.
Wow.
Yeah. The World Trade Center towers house more than 400 businesses, some of them top-tier financial firms. Companies with offices in the towers included Bank of America, the Lehman Brothers, and the Commodity Futures Trading Commission. All of the businesses damaged in the attacks were forced to relocate, resulting in $22 billion in losses due to business interruption. Hmm. These are all estimates from the New York Times that came out later. So, the value of life lost in 9/11 is $24 billion. That accounts for the estimated $10 billion the people who died at the World Trade Center would have earned throughout their working lives and if their lives had not been cut short. So, obviously, that's hard to calculate, and they're doing their best, but crazy. The cost to replace New York's buildings and infrastructure that were destroyed in the attacks totaled $21.8 billion. Additionally, it cost $500 million to repair damage to the Pentagon and Washington, D.C.
It's interesting. When you factor in the loss of equipment, infrastructure, utilities, injury, value of life, and cleanup, the physical toll of the attacks was $55 billion mm-hmm. or $62.2 billion in 2019 dollars.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an all-encompassing number, if you will.
Yeah, and you can't even wrap... I mean, I read these stats, and you can't wrap your head around it. You just can't. It's hard to... I have yet to go to New York City and see the memorial, which I really would like to do. But it is just so difficult to wrap your head around. And even now, you know, we talk about COVID and everything happening now. What's the cost? We won't know for a very long time mm-hmm. what this all ends up being. So I'll read one more and then we'll hand it over to Heidi. So this is the cost to the airline industry. The result is $19.6 billion in losses reported by the U.S. air industry from 2001 to 2002. And that's according to the International Air Transport Association. Even more alarming, between 2001 and 2010, the airline industry suffered losses totaling $74 billion, according to Travel Weekly. So,
and they basically, our travel changed forever, as everyone knows. It was turned upside down, and it took years for them to navigate how to, you know, all the equipment that was needed to properly screen those who were going on flights.
So that's the next stat. Increased security at airports means extra waiting time, which according to the New York Times would cost as much as an additional $10 billion a year. That means in just the 10 years following 9/11, the lost time at airports costs an additional $100 million. And more people began to drive instead of fly. So according to a study published in the journal Applied Economics, as many as 2,300 driving deaths would be attributed to the September 11th attacks. So, and that the New York Times estimated that these deaths cost an additional $19 billion. Right. A lot of tongue twisters here, is these numbers.
It is, so. You bet. Well, thank you, Shay. That's mm-hmm. interesting to see and hear the perspective of what was really going on. And then also a bright spot in this whole thing. Go ahead, Heidi, if you would, on the story of the St. Paul's Chapel.
Yeah, so I was looking for something, you know, with a little bit of light. All this is so heavy, and it was such a devastating time for so many people. But one story that really sort of touched my heart, because I have actually gone to the 9/11 memorial. I went there on a trip with my daughter's, one of her choir groups, and we visited there. But right across the street from the World Trade Center, I mean, right across the street. There's this church, and this church is called St. Paul's, and it was built in 1766 on land that was donated by Queen Anne, and that just tells you how long ago this was.
Mm-hmm.
It survived a major fire in New York in 1776 because they had a fire brigade, and they rescued the building. At the time, it was the tallest building in New York, and George Washington actually visited the chapel after his inauguration. So it has a lot of historical significance. But what was amazing was being right across from the World Trade Center, the building suffered no physical damage.
Mm.
The priests were amazed that not even a pane of glass was broken in this building. And I mean, it's right there.
Mm.
And what happened to the church was also amazing because it became a place where all of the rescuers, volunteers, and people would come to rest during their shifts. There was food donated, and they could eat, and they could clean up, and they had boots donated because the rescue workers had to change their shoes every day because the bottoms would melt because the wreckage was still so hot.
There was that much heat coming off the wreckage.
Yeah, so there's a lot of amazing stories. It became known as the Chapel That Stood, and more than 3,000 workers passed through those chapel rooms, you know, being revived and having a place to rest. Messages started to pour in from around the world. They had over 400 panels of messages and banners sent from all over the U.S. and around the world, giving encouragement to all the workers. And they've sort of set up a separate room there in the chapel that has a lot of this memorabilia. So it's a very inspiring place to go. Mm. It was a place of refuge and faith and light in this terrible situation. But it's just amazing because when you visit there, you're like, it's right here. How could it not have? Every building around when I was there was under construction when they were rebuilding.
Incredible.
Wow. Except for this.
It is a powerful looking building in the picture. It just looks
solid.
Very solid, like a monolith, you know.
Just and that was built strong. When?
1766.
So 255 years ago.
No computer-aided design or jackhammers, steam shovels, whatever.
No. But just a positive thing to give people hope.
You bet. Thank you, Heidi.
Yeah, thank you.
We were reflecting a bit on the break about what this meant in the financial planning arena, and the first thing I wrote down was estate planning. Everybody became a lot more aware of their own mortality, given all the death and destruction that we were watching on the telly. And that reality was brought home to people thinking a lot more seriously about, well, what would happen if we were to pass away or something were to happen? What about the kids? How's that going to be handled? How are things going to be settled out? That was obviously a lot more serious conversation.
Did you see a spike in phone calls to your office then in the next year or two?
Honestly, Ron, I do not remember. I don't remember, but I'm sure that there were. I remember being on the phone a lot in those days, but I don't know that we necessarily got more phone calls. I can't say that for sure, but in any of those times, we tend to have a lot more calls. We just tend to, if you will, statistically.
Mm-hmm.
But today, we see, as a result of COVID, then a lot more financial planning going on. How are we going to handle this if we have to retire early? A lot of earlier retirements happening. Some by want and some by cause from outside forces, if you will. So there are a variety of things that are happening to cause people to say, well, what if we or I weren't working next year or much sooner than I intended? What would we do? How would we handle this? Where would the income come from? Would it be enough? Do we need to make any other adjustments? You know, all those things come into play. And we are up close and personal with those conversations when someone becomes ill. And a spouse or loved one isn't able to work as long as what they had thought. And it's not always bad news. Sometimes, of course, it's, well, they let me go. I guess that's okay. Mm-hmm. So what's chapter two? Mm-hmm. How do we pivot? I think that word is probably used a little too much.
Pivot?
Yes, the word most hated now, perhaps. But how do we adjust given the reality? And we see a lot of clients adjusting to the new reality of our world. And the fact that what America carries in its wake may not be quite as much as it was in the past. Mm. Given that reality, how do we respond to it? How do we respond personally? Isn't that interesting? It's what any of us has to do. How do I begin to prepare myself if I were to get COVID? So, you know, anything from taking vitamins to losing weight to trying to stay in better shape, whatever it is. We're trying to stay healthier, so if we do get sick, we're better able to fight it, perhaps.
Don't you think it's interesting that week after week you encourage people and acknowledge that it's up to us now? A lot of us have to plan our future, our financial futures, our retirement years, and the federal government now with Social Security is a big question mark, making it difficult to plan. You don't know if you'll be getting what you're promised or mm-hmm. if you'll be able to retire when you want.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there may be adjustments. There may be adjustments to Social Security. I would guess it wouldn't occur to any who are currently retired or nearing retirement, but it certainly could be the reality for those who are younger, you know, 40, 45. Mm-hmm. I don't know about anyone in their 50s, but mm-hmm. the ability for the Fed to cover those payments is going to have to come out of the budget itself. There are a lot of things coming out of the budget here in these days. So we'll see how they fund all of that spending.
And we're always trying to help people look at various things that could happen. So we try to position things mm-hmm. to help people be in a good situation in a different number of things that could happen. So that's why you want to have diversification and you want to have different types of money that is taxed differently so that you have that ability to adjust and to be resilient in different circumstances, because none of us knows what's coming down the line for sure, but we can definitely plan for multiple different scenarios to just put us in a better position to be able to meet that challenge. So.
Thanks so much for listening. You can find us online at proutfinancialdesign.com. That's P-R-O-U-T, financialdesign.com. Also, you'll be able to find us on iTunes and SoundCloud.